this program, again, we're going to take a look at some Iranian newspapers regarding the People's Popular Uprising against the Shah's regime here in Iran. The Revolution's Flight Special for Imam Khomeini. According to the Agence France-Presse from Neuf-le-Château, sources close to Ayatollah Imam Khomeini in Neuf-le-Château underlined that the Iranian military dare not oppose the return of the leader of world Shiites to Tehran. Imam Khomeini yesterday decided to return to Iran after 15 years in exile. A close relative of the Ayatollah said the Imam has made the decision because of the report that he has received from Iran. He did not elaborate. Imam Khomeini, we are the inheritor of a ruined country. According to a report by Kayhan's correspondent from Paris, yesterday during his speech after noon prayers, Imam Khomeini underlined that Shah's friends would have kept him in the country if they could return him to Iran. Speaking at the end of noon prayers at his residence in Neuf-le-Château, Imam Khomeini said, all the superpowers supported the Shah regime, but the rightfulness of the Islamic rule, namely freedom and independence, led to the collapse of this regime. Imam Khomeini then referred to the situation of Iran and said, we have inherited a country ruined by the Shah regime. He has squandered our oil, our agriculture, our universities, and our youth. We must rebuild Iran. We need 20 years to make up for the destruction, but this reconstruction must be done through unity.
In this program, we'll recall another memory from a different person from the times of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. His name is Masoud. He wrote us, and he said this. I was drowned in my thoughts as I got into the taxi. The picture of the beaten-up Bahram was vivid in my eyes. Bahram lived upstairs. He was our neighbor. He was arrested by the police the day before. He was beaten up very badly. He was bruised up all over. His mother was an old lady. He couldn't walk much. I offered to help. I said, I'll go buy the medicine for my cousin who worked in a pharmacy nearby. As I was about to leave, I saw my brother, who was wanting to go make a phone call to my father, who had traveled to a city north of Iran. He was on his way to the telephone house. His friends came over right at that time and said, Hormoz, let's go. I knew they wanted to go join the demonstrators. I offered to help him, and I said, I'll go make the call to Dad. Hormoz was happy. He said, okay, well, be careful and get back soon. As I got into the taxi, I saw demonstrators at a crossroad in front of us. They were chanting slogans against the government. A lot of them were ladies, housewives, in fact. As I was amazed by this sight, looking around, a man in a black raincoat with his collars pushed up, jumped in a car and offered the cab driver a significant fare. As we were going, I saw more and more crowd joining the demonstrators. The taxi driver seemed very nervous. The man was holding a bag and several sports bags as well and pushing them tightly close to him. I knew that maybe he was holding something important. Of course, I was curious, as the taxi driver was. As I was drowning my thoughts and was thinking about Bahram, I heard a voice saying, "Sir, thank you. I'll stop right here." It was a raincoat man. He abruptly jumped out of the car after giving the money to the cab driver and in the process left the bag. I reached over, I looked at it, and there were notices, a bundle of papers. I took a closer look, and I knew there were revolutionary notices. I told the cab driver, "We got to return these to the owner." He said, "Son, do you want to get in trouble? Do you know what they would do with us if they catch us with these things?" I didn't pay attention to him. I left the money on the seat, and I jumped out. I followed the man into that alley, but he was gone. I couldn't find him. I went and made a phone call from the telephone house. It was getting late, so I ran back home. My mother was worried. My brother, Holmos, was there. They asked me where I was, and I told them the story. My mother panicked. Poor lady, she was like, "Do you guys want to be like Bahram? You guys want to be arrested? What am I going to do if you get arrested and get beaten up? Your dad's not even here." My brother, Hormoz, trying to calm my mother, said, "Mom, don't worry. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to go throw him out in the river." A couple of hours later, I saw my brother tiptoeing out the door. I knew what he was doing. He was going to go distribute the notices. I followed him. The curfew was not over yet. It was a dangerous time. But the darkness was a blessing, of course. Hormoz threw all the notices into people's houses. The next morning, people woke up and all had notices in their houses, in their yards. I was happy. Hormoz was ecstatic. We knew that the man in the raincoat was probably happy to know that those notices were distributed, one of which I still keep in my album.